right, welcome to Strong Words with Ian Strong, the entertaining entertainment podcast. I'm your host, Ian Strong, and thank you so much for being here for my 50th episode of Strong Words. I can't believe that I've done 50 episodes at this point, and this one is going to be a fun one because for the very first time ever, I get to talk about something that I've wanted to do since, and I even mentioned it in the first episode of Strong Words. I'm talking football today because 6 days from today, the world is going to be watching Super Bowl 55 from Raymond James Stadium in Tampa Bay, Florida, where the at-home, for the first time ever, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, led by the greatest quarterback of all time, Tom Brady, is taking on the defending Super Bowl champions, the Kansas City Chiefs, led by arguably the greatest quarterback in the game today, Patrick Mahomes. We are going balls deep inside the NFL today. We're going to talk a little bit about every single team in the league, where they finish this year, what they need in order to become contenders next year, and then we're going to spend some time talking about the big game itself. We're going to break down each team, how they got there, why they got there, and what each team needs to do before they can be crowned the Super Bowl 55 champions of the National Football League. Right before my three panelists who join me in this discussion give their score predictions of the big game. So let's review the NFL 2020 season and look forward to Super Bowl 55 right after transitioning in with a little music that I personally recorded every instrument for, like I do for every episode, right here on Strong Words with Ian Strong. Welcome to the show that the pros definitely don't listen to, but we are going balls deep inside the 2020/2021 NFL season, and I'm calling it that because just like inside the NFL, we have a JB, we have a Phil, we have a Michael Irvin who is also Phil, but I'll just go around the room and introduce everybody so we can get rolling with, we got so much to cover in so little time. So as I mentioned before, first time on the show, popping his Strong Words cherry, JB, welcome to the show.
All right.
All right.
How's it going?
Pretty good. We'll talk about how you're feeling after your Eagles didn't do so well this year.
Not so good, but we'll be all right.
And then across the spectrum, friend of the show, my best friend in the whole world. Only reason that he's here is because the Kansas City Chiefs are playing in another Super Bowl. Mr. Dan Freet, how are you?
What up?
Thank you for being cognizant of your volume. And returning to the show, Phil Daneker, who has no team affiliation whatsoever except for the one that makes him the most money.
Wait, that's incorrect, sir.
Please correct me.
Well, if you remember, I was here April 26, 2020. And we did the pick of picks.
Okay, just to set this up, all of these guys at this table play in a fantasy league together. And Phil talks a lot of shit that you cannot reciprocate because he does not have a team affiliation. And it got to the point where they said, Phil, you must pick a team or you can't be in this league anymore.
Or talk shit anymore.
So you came to my house on your birthday, which was also the day of the draft.
Correct.
And then you said, put all 32 team names in a hat. I will pick one out, and that'll be my team. And the team that you chose was?
The Bengals.
Not the walk like an Egyptian Bengals. The Cincinnati Bengals.
The Bengals.
And did you throw any support to that team this year?
Yes, I watched a few games.
You are full of shit.
Fake news.
Whoa! I watched a few games.
Yeah, so did I, after week 12.
They didn't even put Bengals games on TV this year.
Well, there was reruns on my phone.
So be that as it may, before we get started, because like I said, I want to talk a little bit about every team this year, and then we are here to preview the big game, talk about what can we expect when the greatest in the game today goes up against the greatest of all time, talking about Brady, talking about Mahomes. So I'm going to do what JB on Inside the NFL does and just go around the room and say, what did we learn from this season? Anybody can jump in. What did we learn this year?
The Kansas City Chiefs are good at football.
How so?
They won a lot of games.
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely becoming a passing league for sure. They are airing,
it's been a passing league for a few years
but
now.
But they are airing the ball out, setting records. A lot of touchdowns, not a lot of defense.
I mean, what do you have now? You have most quarterbacks, what are they averaging? 350, 400 yards every game?
Yeah, it's not 3,000 yards passing anymore. It's 4,000 yards a season. Not 20 touchdowns, 30, 40 touchdowns a
year.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Not much running. Not many great, strong running backs.
A lot of good running quarterbacks, though.
Yes, mobile quarterbacks are a trend as well.
I learned that it doesn't matter what team you play for. If you're great, you're great. And it shows. Because it really doesn't. I mean, we saw a lot of marquee names go to a lot of different teams this year. Ones we never thought would ever go anywhere else, like your Tom Brady's and your Phillip Rivers. And they've thrived regardless of where they went.
Stephon Diggs.
Mm-hmm. DeAndre Hopkins.
All had big years.
I agree with Diggs. Diggs was outstanding. You know, who wants to go to Buffalo? He actually did, and he had one heck of a season. I mean, that's a good quarterback out there, Josh Allen. I mean, again, another mobile young quarterback who can – he's a gunslinger. He can throw the ball.
Well, the read option's getting big too. Everybody's running a version of the read option.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that I can also say that I learned now that we're on the subject of quarterbacks is it really doesn't matter that we have – quarterbacks that are in the twilight of their career, we still have superstar quarterbacks in the league.
Well, you have to. Well, you're going to win in this league. You got to have a good quarterback, and that just proves it with the four teams in the championship games last week.
Mm-hmm.
One up and coming, but the other three have been phenomenal. Yeah, so Rodgers, Mahomes, Brady.
Well, yeah. With the exception of the NFC East team, honestly, like the playoffs were all really good teams this year that deserved to be there.
And they actually put up a fight, though, against Tampa Bay, though.
They did.
Yeah, that was a...
That's a good defense. With
surprisingly
Winky,
good defense.
Winky,
just, yeah.
They had him from...
XFL quarterback, came out of nowhere.
But you got to give him some credit. The heart was there. I mean, the kid fought his butt off.
Oh, for sure. He played a good game. I mean, what are you going to do?
Surprisingly.
I think he locked in, you know, not a starting position, but I think he locked in a backup. Because they said he came off, if I'm not correct, he came off the practice squad, correct?
And that might have... pumped Tampa Bay up a little bit. Or might have made Tampa Bay kind of have to play harder.
I'm with you there, JB. I think Tampa Bay walked into that game and took it easy. What was it? Redskins were in the game.
The Washington football team was in the game.
I apologize. Washington Sentinels. I got to say, they were in the game till the fourth quarter. I mean, they were in it.
Absolutely.
They had even had a chance to tie or win.
Yeah, but we've also seen in the careers of some of the players on that team that they play to their competition.
Oh, that happens a lot.
Mm-hmm. Before we jump too far ahead of ourselves, but I think it's fair to say that when Tampa went to Washington to play that game, they played to their competition. They were never going to lose that game, but they weren't playing to their potential either. They kind of just coasted through that game.
But when you go to coast through games like that, you know anything could happen. What if Brady throws a pick right there at the end with the ball that got tipped?
Brady threw three picks in seven attempts in the NFC Championship game, and look where they're still at.
Two of them weren't on him, though.
No, yeah. But
it's fair.
My point being, the other team wasn't able to capitalize off of the multiple chances that they gave them.
Yes, well, because one of those teams has a really good defense, and one of them has an average defense.
And also
still need a defense to win these
also
days.
Look at the quarterback was very angry and upset the whole season that his team wasted a draft pick.
Well, before we start getting into all that, let's just go through – every single team in the league, with the exception of the two that are playing in the Super Bowl, and we're going to talk about where they're at and where and what they need to get where they want to be. Because obviously, not every single team in the league is anywhere close to where they need to be. Some are maybe a step or two away, and some are there. They just missed their opportunity or something was poorly managed or however you want to term it. So what I did was I have notes for every single NFL team. I made a note of what their record was and what their biggest needs are going into the offseason. Because as of right now, we're in the offseason with the exception of two teams. So we're just going to lightning round go through every one of these. I'm going to mention a team. I'm going to say what my notes were for that team. Feel free to jump in at any time to add to that particular team. And I'm going to start in the AFC, and I'm going to start in the East. And I'm going to start with the Jets because, man...
That's a tough one to start with.
I know. But
how much time we got on the show?
Well, like I said, I want to rapid fire through these so that we can spend enough time talking about the big game. We don't need to talk as much about the Jets, even though there's plenty to say. I mean, first of all, Adam Gase is gone. and they need to hire a culture-changing head coach, which they feel like they did in hiring San Francisco defensive coordinator Robert Saleh. Is it Saleh? Saleh as their head coach. This team has no offensive line. They need a tight end. They need a running back. They need at least two wide receivers. And the entire defensive secondary, that whole team needs an overhaul. That whole team needs a culture change. They have the number two pick in the draft, which a lot of people were critical of because they had the number one pick in the draft in the bag, and everybody assumes it's going to be Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback from Clemson. It's just a mess. I don't think that having the number two pick in the draft is going to make any immediate changes for this team.
I don't think they're going to get Trevor Lawrence anyway.
They don't have the number one pick, which is going to be Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, yeah.
They're going to get Trevor Lawrence.
But they'll take it. What they do at number two will tell you how much faith they have in Sam Darnold. Because if they go quarterback, know he's gone. But there's also some huge receivers that they can draft. You have the kid from Alabama, Smith, who won the Heisman, Chase, Waddle. But they have so many holes to fill.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, pick your poison. It doesn't matter where you spend that draft capital.
They're still not going to get there next year.
No, not even close. Speaking of a team that's not ready to get there next year, we'll go to the 7-9 Patriots. It's amazing to me that we're going to even talk about the Patriots being 7-9 while Tom Brady is playing in his 10th Super Bowl with another team. Where does this team go? Do they re-sign Cam Newton? How much does Bill Belichick have left? You know, regardless of quarterback, that quarterback needs protection on the O-line. If not Cam, then who do you get? You know, rumors are flying out there that maybe Jimmy G may be returning to New England, maybe Matt Stafford, maybe Dak Prescott, maybe Fitzmagic. I don't know. But the QB situation needs to be addressed in New England before they figure out what went wrong this year.
They lost half their team to COVID. they didn't lose them. They opted out because of COVID.
Well, that, and they also had to deal with people like Cam Newton getting COVID.
Yeah.
What a mess in the New England locker room. But I think that dealing with the quarterback situation first, that's where you need to start. Where do you guys think they should start?
Well, it's got to be quarterback, but they're also defensively. I mean, they always won on defense, and their defense was not great this year.
But where do you think they should start at quarterback? Who do you think could fill that role in a Bill Belichick system? Because obviously we saw that Cam Newton is not a quarterback that fits in
Josh
system.
McDaniel's system, though, because I don't think Bill Belichick has much. He's more of on the defensive side. Josh McDaniels, I mean, he had Brady. He's pocket passer, so they're probably going to look for a pocket passer. Is it the kid from BYU? Is it the kid from South Dakota State, maybe the kid from Alabama? I think it's got to be Young.
You think they need to draft a quarterback
Worked for him the last time.
I think I agree with you there, JB. I think that kid from Alabama, I mean, a lot of people are going to sleep on him. They're saying maybe top 10, top 20. I'm thinking you might get him late in the first round. I think he has what they're looking for. They need a guy. Listen, if Jimmy G wasn't so banged up, I would say go get him. Bring him back. He should have never left. But he's so banged up right now, he's damaged good. The leg's bad. The ankle's bad. You know.
Yeah, the Red Rocket.
Dalton. Well, there was rumors about that last year.
You need to let that guy go to
The problem is they have a good offensive line, but they don't have the skill players. So even bringing in a veteran guy or a young guy, it's going to be difficult forever goes in there.
Well, and most of their wide receiving core is also on the fence as to whether or not they're going to be
coming
back.
Yeah, Edelman was out.
Yeah, they don't have superstar wide receiver at all.
The kid they drafted, Carey, so many good receivers went after him that year, but that's another story.
So obviously the quarterback issue needs to be addressed first, and then you build around that guy. That's what New England needs to be doing. Let's move on to the Miami Dolphins, who had a great turnaround season, 10-6. But my question is, what's it going to take to get this team to the next level? Is Tua going to take them there? Does the franchise have enough confidence in him? Because we saw earlier this year that they had benched him for a game.
I mean, the kid is playing his first year of pro football. I mean, I didn't necessarily love the way they benched Fitzpatrick this year, but that was going to happen at some point. It was always going to happen.
Well, here's my question. You can't stop a guy on a heater. I mean, yes, he had a couple bad games, but then all of a sudden it turned around and he was rolling.
And the team loves that guy. I mean, his teammates have always loved him because he always gives it everything he has.
I mean,
they call him Fitzmagic for a reason. Yeah.
His tight end, how about him starting to find Gesicki?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just... Well,
that's the problem is you don't have the skill players. The outside receivers aren't catching the ball. And they had a running back by committee. They didn't really have an identity on offense besides Fitzmagic.
And that's one of the things that I wrote down is that if Tua is going to take them there, the first thing that they need is a playmaking target.
Correct, and they're in a great position.
When your best wide receiver is Devontae Parker, and I'm not taking anything away from Devontae Parker.
Kid's good.
He is good, but he would be a number two receiver on most teams. Mm-hmm.
But listen,
no, he's never on the field, though. He's always injured. He's always injured.
You bring in that kid from Alabama and put him with Parker in a year or two, they're going to be something.
And they got draft capital, too.
But I don't think Fitzpatrick's even going to be there next year, though.
But I do think that this team needs some veteran presence. It's the second youngest team in the league.
And they have a lot of cap money.
I'm not necessarily saying that re-signing Ryan Fitzpatrick to kind of give Tua the education that he needs in order to be a quality starter in this league. But I think surrounding Tua with some veteran leadership can only do that kid good.
They signed a lot of guys in last offseason. They spent a ton of money last offseason. They got the kid from the Cowboys, Jones. They got Van Noy.
Patrick probably wants to still play, though.
Oh, if he's there, he wants to be the starter. But they need playmakers. They got the offensive line. They need running back. They need wide receivers. And shore up some D linemen. But
well, moving on to a team that was one game away from playing in the Super Bowl, the first place Buffalo Bills. I don't know in my lifetime I'd be saying the words first place Buffalo Bills. But they went 13-3. They made it to the AFC title game. And I think that they showed in that game that they are just not a polished team. They're a good team.
They're a really good team.
Josh Allen is going to be a stud, but he has some work to do. We saw that in the game against the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC title game. Kid's got some learning to do, but he's got time. Oh, yeah. And I don't think that they necessarily need to make a whole lot of changes to this team in order to get them there. I think that they have all the pieces in place. I think they just need to bring in maybe upgrade one of your premium positions.
Running back. They had no running game. Zero running game.
I was just going to say this. Listen, these kids the two they drafted – college, they were studs. They were good in college. But remember, they went to the WAC. They were in schools that weren't in top tier. In the divisions they were in, they were good running backs. They were, they got it done. In the NFL, they're not tough enough.
Or offensive line. I know they had some defensive issues too. Good front seven. Secondary was so-so. But they need to be balanced on offense to win. Yeah.
Agreed.
Moving on to the AFC North. We're going to start from the bottom and go to the top. We're going to start with the team that Phil pretends to be a fan of, and that's the Cincinnati Bengals. Obviously, Joe Burrow's leg injury hindered the team's chance to develop in a very stacked division. We already know he's not going to be back before week one. He's not going to participate in preseason. But I think that they have a solid team to build around. I think defensive end Carl Lawson is a stud. And I think that if you build the defense around him and you upgrade the offensive line, we could see the Bengals start to turn it around similar to how we saw the Browns do in the last year.
Well, yeah, T. Higgins was a hell of a pick last
year. T. Higgins is a beast.
And Boyd and Mixon, even though he's got some other issues. But, yeah, offense, they need to protect quarterback. Mm-hmm. Got to protect quarterback.
They're looking to get –
protect your investment.
They're looking to get the left tackle.
Yeah, Burrow's going to be he looks like a solid quarterback. Yeah, I think they found the guy they need there.
This division, especially with not really being sure what the Steelers are going to do, what Ben Roethlisberger's future is going to be like, there's some talented quarterbacks in this position and in this division, and you need one if you're going to win it for the next 10 years.
Yeah, they need a lot of help on their defense.
Defense and offensive line. That's where they should put
crazy.
All their
assets.
Past practice with the Bengals, they always had a good defense, and it just fell apart the last couple of years.
Well, speaking of a team that turned around, I mentioned them a minute ago. We'll talk about the 11-5 Browns. The franchise finally turned a page and are in a position to be exciting to watch for a while, I think. But what do they need? Like the Dolphins, what do they need to take them to the next level?
Trade Odell Beckham.
It's
amazing how good they were after
he went down. I agree with what New York said about him. He is a cancer everywhere
defense,
he goes.
And defense. Yeah. I mean, they got an O-line. They have playmakers. They could use
I wrote that they need an elite cornerback.
They do need an elite cornerback.
Or they need the kid. The one kid they drafted, Ward, he needs to stay healthy. But, yeah, they need defense, secondary, but definitely another receiver with Landry. You got two of the best running backs in the game.
Yeah, their backfield's insane.
Never thought that was going to stick. Never thought they were going to keep
both. Yeah, and they signed Hunt in the offseason, too, so they kept him
amazing around. To think that Nick Chubb is in a tandem running back offense.
Well, he was in Georgia, Kareem though. Hunt
at, even yeah. at
Georgia
that.
He was with Sony Michel.
Yeah.
I mean, Georgia just pumps out the running backs, but that's a conversation for another day. But
you know, I would say Kareem Hunt in most other teams would probably be the workhorse and the main guy.
And probably would have Super Bowl rings if he had his head on his shoulders, right?
That's agreed. Fair.
Definitely would have one.
Yes.
Another team that finished 11-5 in the AFC North was the Baltimore Ravens. I think that improving the offensive line to help Lamar Jackson would be a really good start, especially the inside of the offensive line where you need protection in an option-based offense. I love their running game. I love their option offense. But having I don't even want to say elite, just a top-tier wide receiver could really be the difference maker for that offense.
Brown's pretty good.
But if you double team him and you take him out of the equation.
Well, you have Andrews, too.
You have Mark Andrews. A stud tight end.
And look what Kansas City does with Hill and Kelsey. Now, I know I'm not comparing either to either, but the quarterback needs to be consistent. Yeah. He needs to throw the ball consistently.
If they get a stud wide receiver, they could mix it up a little bit.
Okay. Defenses did a pretty good job on defending Lamar Jackson this year. Mm-hmm. They had a little bit more of a target on him.
Spying him better.
Yeah, they were able to spy him better. I think the problem with them is they just get in the playoffs and they don't play great.
Well, they scheme Jackson in the playoffs better. But to go to your point, yes, they do need another guy
if you're able to upgrade the throwing game, that leaves a lot more options for Lamar Jackson when he does his run play option to have targets and not have to worry about doing all the work himself.
And I think it'd have to be through the draft, because if you're a top free agent wide receiver, unless they're going to pay you Buco bucks, you don't want to go there because they are a run first team and they have other weapons, and Lamar Jackson's not the most accurate or consistent passer.
We'll move on to the first place finishing Pittsburgh Steelers. Obviously, I alluded to a little bit earlier, what's the future hold for Ben Roethlisberger? I think that if he stays, you need to upgrade the offensive line. I think that that defensive secondary got absolutely exposed down the stretch. I never seen an 11-0 team be the worst 11-0 team that you could absolutely see.
It was
they fell apart.
They didn't really play many great teams this year, to be fair. They showed their colors when they beat a couple good teams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
but they need to run the ball too. They were the worst. Could you ever imagine thinking that the Pittsburgh Steelers were the worst team in the NFL at running? Like the Pittsburgh Steelers we grew up with and from the old days were the worst rushing team in the NFL, and they became one-dimensional like the Bills.
The Steelers are almost the absolute opposite of an offensive team than the Baltimore Ravens are.
Yeah,
it's true.
But yes, offensive line for sure. Ben's got 40 million reasons to come back next year, so he's coming back because they have to bring him back. There's no other option.
Yeah, I think that the team at this point is way too talented to waste building a new quarterback.
But they still need to draft a guy. They need to groom that next guy because Ben's not there forever.
Listen, I think Rudolph was the next guy till he got hit in the head with his own helmet. I mean, that kid hasn't been the same. And you guys can agree, you watch as much as I do, the couple games that he stepped in and played, he played good. And then that Browns game after he got hit, that kid hasn't been right.
But they need the guy. I mean, the guy Jones from Alabama would be a good guy for them to groom. But they need to groom somebody, but run the ball better.
So now we're moving on to the AFC South. We're going to the team that has the number one overall pick in the draft, the 1-15 Jacksonville Jaguars, who now have a new head coach in Urban Meyer.
That's a joke.
Wow.
Urban Meyer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
Not a fan at all.
I'm not a fan of Urban Meyer either, but if there was a time to go into Jacksonville and become their new head coach, I think right now is the time because you have the draft capital. You got $75 million in cap space. You got, as I said, in the draft capital, you got four picks in the first two rounds, including number one overall. And obviously, you draft Trevor Lawrence from Clemson first. But then what?
It's amazing. 3 years ago, they were in the NFC or AFC championship game. Three years ago. And all those guys are gone.
It's funny because I ended up watching it, playing fantasy. I had James Robinson, who was the bright spot of that team. What a good undrafted rookie that kid was this year. He was their whole offense.
And they run the ball well, right?
They did.
Fournette a couple years ago was there running the ball.
Yeah, they can run the ball fine. I watched them a ton. They do need a quarterback, but they need someone to pro- to protect them. They need an offensive line, and they need to shore up the defense a little bit.
Yeah, because they traded.
There's some talent on their defense. They don't play with confidence, though, because they don't have confidence their offense can come on and score any points. They're always on the field, and they're tired all the time.
And receivers. I mean, they have some good guys, but they're getting injured. Chark's good. Tight end. They've never really had a big tight end.
No, they need a good skill player on the field.
But yeah, Robinson was a great find for them, undrafted rookie. I think had the most rushing yards of any undrafted rookie in NFL history this year.
Well, and I think that's why like Urban Meyer would be almost a good fit in Jacksonville, because if there was one thing that he was amazing at during his time as a head coach in college, it was scouting and drafting.
Oh, recruiting. He was a recruiting wizard.
And if he's going to have any
Tebow.
Yeah, and if he's going to have any say.
Tebow is the man still.
If he's going to have any say on how this franchise gets turned around, I think that's a good. I think giving him the keys to that, not the worst move.
No,
I'm interested to see how it plays out.
But he's off to a good start with Trevor Lawrence, I think.
Yeah,
bad pick.
Why do you say that?
I just don't think he's as good as everybody hypes him up to be. I mean, he played against Ohio State and looked.
Don't let the feelings for Notre Dame get in your way.
It's not. I mean, watch the game. Watch the numbers. Ohio State had one of the worst defenses out there, and he got destroyed in that game. I mean, threw two picks. He fumbled the ball twice. He's not – in my eyes, I don't think he's that good.
Yeah, but look at all the elite-level quarterbacks that play today and compare them to what they did in college. I think Trevor Lawrence is leaps and bounds ahead of Tom Brady where he was in college, or a Drew Brees where he was in college.
Well, that's a different age, different time playing.
Do you think there's another quarterback you would take over him?
Yeah,
are you going wide receiver?
If you're Urban Meyer and you have the number one pick in the draft,
stick with Uncle Rico.
Who do you pick?
The mullet's. I mean, the mullet and the.
You think I could throw a football over that mountain?
See, that's the thing. I would take the kid. I would keep the kid, and I would go get either a wide receiver or a running back.
So Phil likes to waste draft picks. Let's move on to the Texans. Good God, what a mess do they have in Houston?
Let's go away and trade our best wide receiver away.
All right.
Surprisingly, Romeo did all right after he took over the team.
They were very competitive after that. But I mean, but now they got a huge problem with the quarterback.
He's not a
huge problem. And they traded this pick.
Well, first of all, Bill O'Brien's gone. And they hired New England director of player personnel, Nick Caserio, as their new GM. They still need a head coach. Have they hired a head coach yet? I don't believe so.
Yes, they just hired a guy, Cully, the other
day. From the Ravens.
Oh, yeah. From the Ravens. Yeah. Yes, they did. Okay, yeah, Cully. Yes, they did.
Which still didn't make Watson happy.
Well, and that's the big story for the Texans going into this offseason is what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson in Houston. He's made it very clear that he wants to be traded. If he doesn't get traded, Dan and I, you were talking about this off the air.
Well, he felt very disrespected because he wanted Eric Bieniemy to get at least an opportunity to interview for the head coaching job. He had made it publicly known, you know, on social media.
And Eric Bieniemy felt like
they slighted him by not even giving him an opportunity.
That dude should be a head coach somewhere.
And he's not going to be again.
Is it the playoffs that are holding him back?
There's like six teams that hired head coaches, in which Eric Bieniemy could be easily their
coach. But is it because that he's in the Super Bowl and these other teams are getting one-on-ones with these coaches? I mean, it has to be, right?
Or it could just be because he's black.
Nah, we're past that now.
Are we?
Well,
the Texans just hired a black coach.
Yeah.
So one team out of the 10 that need head coaches hire a black coach, well, and all of a sudden we're not talking about the fact that because he's black.
Yeah, there was a couple.
I think it has to do with play. I mean, I'm not saying the color of his skin is – I mean, the Rooney rules. I think the NFL has actually been one of the better sports and minority coaches. I mean, Saleh was the first Muslim coach ever hired this year.
Ask minority players and minority sports writers. They are all pointing at the fact that the reason that Eric Bieniemy is not being interviewed as a head coach.
You had the guy Flores for the Dolphins last year.
Exceptions to the rule.
But, I mean, I think it's playoffs. I mean, I think you don't get the one-on-one that you'd want with these guys while they're in playoffs.
I honestly don't know, and maybe he's a terrible interview for the job.
Or maybe they think he just has Mahomes, and that solves all the problems on offense.
Maybe. It's hard to tell.
You know, is it him, Mahomes, or Reed? I remember Eric Bieniemy in college. I loved the kid in college.
Listen, he calls some great plays for that offense.
Yeah, no.
He's a good player.
It could be a combination of the playoffs. The Chiefs are so great on offense, but where are we talking about? The Texans, right?
Yeah.
We're back to the Texans, who have big problems. They don't have the number three pick. They would have the number three overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
Traded that away.
Yeah, they blew it.
Bill O'Brien screwed that franchise.
Oh, totally disrupted it. Yeah. Totally. I mean...
And they obviously have work to do to get back on their feet from that. But let's move on for moving on sake, and let's talk about the 11-5 Colts.
Well, we'll let you handle that one.
Phillip Rivers retired this year. Thank God.
You can start watching football games, buddy.
Welcome back.
But make sure you give the man respect. He was a gunslinger, and he did play the game.
I said this when I was a guest on another podcast. I'm not going to spend my entire Colts fandom hating on a guy, then all of a sudden he's my quarterback, and I'm like, oh, he's not that bad.
But he never was that bad.
He actually wasn't bad for the Colts this year.
He's a crybaby bitch.
Get out of here, Phil.
I love him and Tomlinson.
Where's Andrew Luck at right now?
I love that team, Antonio. We're not talking about Andrew Luck.
Okay.
Get out of here.
Andrew Luck isn't even talking about Andrew Luck.
Oh, you're a Chiefs fan. We got a Chiefs fan over here.
I'm never going to like the guy. I mean, yeah.
All right, so he's gone. We need to figure out who's next. Is it Brissett? Do you bring him back? He's a free agent. I don't think so.
Not if you want to take that.
There's been rumors linking the Colts to Matt Stafford and Carson Wentz.
Oh, you can have Wentz. He's all yours.
Stafford would be a good fit. Is that a Phillies fan?
Give me a bag of footballs.
I don't see Carson Wentz being a good fit there. I think Matt Stafford would be a perfect fit there. But I think if the Colts showed anything this year is that they are just one or two pieces away from being an elite-level team, and you don't want to waste that, like I said before, with Pittsburgh, with developing a quarterback. I think you bring in a guy like Stafford, just like the Colts did this year with Phillip Rivers.
Stafford's the logical, but if you go back to Wentz's best year ever, who was his offensive coordinator?
Frank Reich.
Right. That's where the logical lineup goes there. I would go Stafford, but as an Eagles fan, I would love you to give me something for Carson Wentz.
Do you want Stafford?
I mean,
we're past that. Stafford needs to go to an established team.
I agree.
That he's not the guy, and they got the people in place.
The Colts have also obvious needs to fill. Left tackle Anthony Costanzo is retired, so I think they're going to use their draft capital to replace him. They're probably going to be losing T.Y. Hilton, Marlon Mack, and Zach Pascal to free agency.
Because you guys got yourself a stud at running back. Jonathan Taylor will make you
and Nyheim Hines
100%
turn back to Mac.
It's very
not
rare
against Mac though.
It's very rare that you see a team this backlogged in quality running backs.
Oh, Hines and Wilkins.
Mm-hmm.
And Pittman was a good receiver for you guys. I think he's going to have another a better step
guys
up
have plenty
year
of
next
weapons.
Year.
You'll be fine.
But as far as the Colts go, obviously addressing the quarterback is your number one priority. I think getting extensions for Quentin Nelson and Darius Leonard are also going to be high on the priority list.
And you lost, and Rhodes had a great, Rhodes came over, cut by the Vikings, was an all-pro cornerback, mm-hmm. fell off the, and then had a great year. He's a free agent too, so you also have some issues in the secondary.
And then they're also going to need to find a replacement for Justin Houston. But let's move on to the Titans. The Titans are a dangerous team. A team that I think next year could be playing in the AFC title game, if not the Super Bowl. I think that if they improve their pass rush defense, they will be a complete team that could potentially dethrone Kansas City as the class of the AFC next year.
Well, they should draft all defense. Their defense was terrible.
Oh, agreed.
Terrible.
Yeah, they're not. They're fine on offense. Their defense is a wet paper bag. It's trash.
Which is crazy considering their head coach, Mike Vrabel, comes out of the Belichick scheme, was a great defensive linebacker. But, yeah, offensively, they have all the tools they need.
They got really lucky with Tannehill. I mean, did you really think that he was going to go there?
No.
And change the culture?
Absolutely not.
Play that well?
I always thought he was a great quarterback on a terrible team.
Yep.
And it doesn't hurt that they have who I believe is the best running back in the game.
It's the King.
Mm-hmm. Hands down. He's a freak.
Anybody's got
King
a
Henry, man. They call him
head.
King Henry for a reason.
Anybody has a blunt hanging out their helmet is the man.
I mean, I can tell you right now.
If Aaron Rodgers doesn't get the MVP this year, then Derrick Henry is my number two.
I can tell you this right now, next year fantasy draft, if I'm in the top two, if he's on the board, he's on my team.
Well, we know how Phil likes or how Phil feels about draft picks.
For all those out there, don't draft Henry next year because he's going to break his leg on the first week.
Okay, we need to move on. We're starting to run a little behind on time here. Let's go to the AFC West and talk about the Denver Broncos, who recently hired George Patton as general manager after 14 years in the Minnesota office. They've been called the 49ers of the AFC, and I think that is a perfect analogy. I like Drew Lock, but not enough to see him as their quarterback in 3 to 5 years, and I think that their defensive secondary should be their top draft focus.
Quarterback, though. I mean, did Lock? He showed some promise.
They need to at least give the kid another year or two to see how he develops. You can't judge him off just...
That's what I'm saying. I think 3 to 5 years, we don't see him in Denver.
Right. Well, I don't think that Elway loves him.
No, and that could be a problem. But you get Sutton back. They had that good receiver. He had a great year. Yeah, Sutton back. I mean, you have Judy. Fant's a great tight end. Defensively, Von Miller needs to stay healthy. Chubb, they drafted high a couple years ago, played very well.
Well, let's go on to the Chargers. My big question, is their QB a blue chipper or is he a stud?
He's a stud.
I love Herbert. Air Bear.
Air Bear.
That was a softball question. He's obviously their QB of the future. So I think you need to build a team around him, starting with the offensive line.
Absolutely.
I think you keep Hunter Henry and you improve the pass rush on the defense. They're one of those teams that, like, you can see it coming together, and I think that they're, you know, a couple of pieces away. Maybe in 2 or 3 years we may see them start being perennial contenders.
Well, offensive line. Bosa needs to be healthy, obviously. Ingram's a good pass rusher.
Secondary, I mean, they really need offensive line.
Yes. I mean, mm-hmm. they should just draft every pick offensive line.
The Raiders at 8-8. It's not a coincidence to me that I wrote down that this 8-8 team is the most average-looking team in the NFL on paper to me. I don't think that they're great at anything, but I don't think that they're bad at anything either.
Worst defense in the NFL history. Defense was terrible.
I think that adding a playmaker or two on both the offense and the defense side could make the difference for this team.
Offensively, they're not terrible.
That's what I'm saying. They're not good and they're not bad.
I don't know.
I mean, good running back. They need a little bit of help on the offensive line.
I think their defense needs overhauled completely. They have a lot of talent on that team. Whenever they play well, they look as good as anybody. But the problem is their consistency level is just not there. Yep. You go from looking like a playoff caliber team to looking like one of the worst teams in the NFL the next mm-hmm. week, and there's no consistency there.
As an ex-Eagles fan, I never thought I'd say this, but they need to re-sign Nelson Agholor. He's not dropping babies there. Yeah, he didn't drop any babies there.
Speaking of the Eagles, let's go to the NFC East and talk about these 4-11-1 Eagles. What a mess. Doug Peterson's gone, but they retain their GM for some reason. Wentz wants out of Philly if he's not going to be the starting quarterback. But they can't just cut him. That's a $59 million cap penalty. I think Jalen Hurts had a great year, and they hired Colts offensive coordinator Nick Sirianni as their new head coach. JB, I'm going to toss this over to you as the resident Eagles fan on this table. What do the Eagles need to do to turn it around?
Oh, what a roller coaster, man. I mean, 3 years ago, win the Super Bowl to now. Quarterback controversy, terrible drafting, GM's terrible. If he wasn't Jewish, I think he'd be cut. And the reason why I'm saying that is our owner's Jewish, and he's Jewish, and somehow he still has a job. But total rehaul, offensive line decimated by injuries, terrible. Can't draft skill players to save our life. Pass on DK Metcalf, pass on Justin Jefferson.
That's crazy.
I mean, just terrible decisions. Too much money invested in the D-line. Got 3 D-tackles making $10 million a year. Terrible secondary. So pretty much everything. Yeah. Got 2 quarterbacks, which is no quarterbacks.
Well, fortunately for the Eagles, they're playing in the worst division in the league, and it's not going to take very many moves to make them in the running for going for first place again next year. And another one of those teams that probably would have won the division had it not been for it being decimated by some major injuries, the Dallas Cowboys at 6-10. First question is obviously the future of Dak in Dallas. And once that's addressed, they need to address their obvious second need at cornerback. But obviously the biggest question for the Cowboys in the postseason or the offseason is you need to take care of Dak Prescott. Pay the man.
But can they? I mean, you just paid Cooper. You just paid Zeke.
Doesn't matter. Pay the man. Trade Zeke.
Can you?
I know Cowboys fans that are done with Zeke in Dallas, and they would rather have Dak than Zeke.
Well, and who's the other? Pollard. I think Pollard could fill in there, but...
Yeah, I mean, even there's a lot of analysts, NFL analysts, that think Zeke's done.
But mm-hmm. how do you trade him when you just paid him?
You don't.
Same problem the Eagles have with Wentz.
Yep.
Same problem.
Moving on to the Giants.
But they can franchise. Just go back. They can franchise Dak, so technically they can handcuff him for another year, which would probably be the smart move.
Yeah, but I feel like if they did that, he would refuse to sign any deal that they put on the table the next year.
Yeah. I mean, that would be the risk they run, but it gives them one more chance to try to run it back.
So we're moving on to the other 6-10 team in the NFC East. We'll talk about the New York Giants. They have no number one receiver. They need a tight end because Evan Engram has been a bust there.
Can't stay healthy.
Can't catch the ball.
I think they need an edge rusher and a quarterback, but the question mark, but those are the biggest question marks. What else does this team need? I think they need leadership.
How about stop crying and going 6-10 and complaining that the Eagles lost the game at the end of the year. If you go 6-10, you don't deserve to be in the playoffs, Joe Judge. I just want to say that. Don't cry at 6-10 and not making the playoffs.
We could spend a whole podcast just talking about how the Eagles handled that last game of the season, but we're talking about what do the Giants need?
They need an offensive line. I mean,
Saquon.
Saquon, when he's back, he adds another dimension, sure, but I mean, they need a decent offensive line.
Saquon is what I was trying to get at.
Yeah, but even their pass blocking is not great.
I think Daniel Jones needs to learn how to run.
Yeah, but he does a lot of good things. That kid's not bad.
No. I think that move, like, it was very controversial to move on from Eli and give the keys to the kingdom to that man. And I think that so far he's handled it.
Well, it was a controversial taking a Duke quarterback with number 6. I think that shocked a lot of people. But their D-line was good. Their secondary was decent. I mean, they played some defense down the end of the year.
Yeah, I was going to say, the second half of the season, their defense really looked a lot better.
Yeah.
They need an offensive line.
Their best player is Saquon Barkley. And just like we said for all the other quarterbacks, that if you're going to build around your quarterback, you're going to build around your running back, you got to be able to block.
Well, the reason that the 6-10 Giants didn't make the playoffs is because the 7-9 Washington football team made the playoffs. They're the third team in history to make the playoffs with a losing record. But as we saw in that game with Tampa, they have a talented team, but obvious holes to fill before they're going to be winning a weak division. My biggest question is, where do you start to improve this team?
Quarterback.
I think quarterback, and
a wide receiver. I mean, the Alabama defense that they've drafted and put together.
I think they're missing a linebacker, too, on defense.
Yeah.
They had some young kids this year, but yeah, secondary. Oh, their secondary is actually really well.
Like, for the just the highlight of my year was, of course, being a Chiefs fan, like seeing Alex Smith have that little comeback after being hurt all that time and seeing him play pretty good with that team. It was a real shame he didn't get a chance to play in the playoffs.
I think they
could have won with him.
Yes.
Well, that I think story, it was a shame.
Did he pull his hamstring?
No, it was like an ankle injury.
No, it was
his calf.
But just this, like, the story about how him and his family like really discussed, like, what should I come back and play? And he was an emergency quarterback. He wasn't even supposed to touch the field this year. But for them to then have that experience with him getting back really onto the field was awesome.
Yeah.
I think they're a young, good team. I mean, a running back here and there and a wide receiver, I think.
Well, they had another surprise running back. They're, what, third or fourth round pick, Gibson? Yeah. It's quarterback play. You know, I don't think Smith comes back, or if he comes back, he doesn't want to come back as a starter. So they should be in the market. A Stafford would be great there. I mean, Watson. But I've heard a lot about Cam because of the connection with Ron Rivera. Oh, by the way, what a great story. He was beating cancer this year as well.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a
Him
story.
Him and Alex Smith together on the same team.
That, no wonder why they made it at 7-9.
There's a lot of heart on that team.
Yeah. See, that's why the Eagles did that, though. So you think us Philly fans are tough, but we actually have a heart and we let them win.
Yeah, I disagree.
At Santa Claus, JB.
But speaking of Matt Stafford, let's go to the NFC North and talk about the 5-11 Lions. Man, they have a whole bunch of messes to fill, too. I mean, they hired Dan Campbell to be their head coach. They hired Rams scouting director Brad Holmes as their new general manager. They have the 7th overall pick in the draft, and their top 3 wide receivers, including Kenny Golladay, have expiring contracts. But the biggest story, obviously, is Matt Stafford is not going to be the quarterback of the Detroit Lions next year. He wants to be traded. They want to trade him. By the time this airs, which is going to be in 2 days from now, he may already be somewhere else. Could be, I mean, rumors are linking them all over the NFL. Biggest ones being 49ers, biggest ones being Colts, possibly New England. But with everything that I just said, I think there's one thing that we can all agree on is that the Lions are not going to be a good team for a very long time.
They kind of are going to stay the same bad team they've been forever.
Yeah.
Well, when you draft multiple tight ends in the top 10, it's not going to help. Ebron, Hockenson.
Yeah, like it's been rough.
You just can't. You can't waste draft capital on guys.
They have really bad management.
I mean, would they go 3 years in a row, one time drafting wide receivers in the top three? I mean, they hit on one of them, Megatron, but it took three other picks to get there. So, it's a whole new rebuild. It's probably will start with a quarterback, obviously, if they're going to lose Stafford. So they got to identify who their guy is and build around him.
It makes sense to not continue to pay Stafford for a team that's not going to win games.
And he doesn't want to be there anymore either. Yeah. I mean, they said they mutually agreed to that. Like, and good. I mean, let's see what you can do, Matt. You know, get on a team and let's see what you can do.
Well, let's move on to the Minnesota Vikings, who finished at 7-9 this year. My biggest question about them, I mean, obviously we know Thielen is a stud and their defense is solid. It's why they won half their games. But my biggest question for them is the Kirk Cousins experiment in Minnesota been a bust? Is it time to move on?
Was your biggest question going to be how you like that?
Yeah, I think he's got to go.
But you can. He's another guy.
They're paying him way too much money.
And he signed a contract last year, extension, to help them alleviate cap money.
Mm-hmm.
But they hit a home run with Justin Jefferson. Home run.
Eagles. JB, I cannot believe that kid was on the board till the end like that.
Unreal.
If you look at on paper at the Minnesota Vikings, I mean, I'm not a fan of Kirk Cousins, but him aside, they're super talented on both sides of the ball. But if you look at them as their cohesion together and when they play, there's something off about that team. And they're just not going to win.
It's called Kirk Cousins.
Cousins is not a leader. He wasn't a leader at Michigan State. When he went to the Redskins, he had
a Washington football team.
Someone like a Deshaun Watson go there.
Yeah, I just don't think they can afford him. But when you see Dalvin Cook and you see Kyle Rudolph and you see Adam Thielen and you see Justin Jefferson, you're like,
the Vikings kind of remind me of like the little electronic football game with all the pieces that kind of jump all over the place on the board. I think that's what the Vikings are. They're just a team that's all over the place. There's talent everywhere, but there's, as you said, Dan, no cohesion.
And you've seen it a couple games. They look like
world beaters. Yeah,
it was wow. Where'd this team come from?
Wow. Yeah. Well, speaking of teams in the NFC North that have question marks all over their QB, let's talk about the 8-8 Bears. Like I said with Kirk Cousins,
Bears.
I think it's time to move on from Mitchell Trubisky. I don't think that he can lead this team to a Super Bowl. I think that their entire offense minus wide receiver needs a complete overhaul. And again, I don't think that Mitchell Trubisky is the guy that's going
to
lead this team.
Allen Robinson's a free agent. I'll tell you right now, he's not going back there. So put receiver back on that board because he's not going back to Chicago.
Nor should he.
He's going to be a monster somewhere.
Yeah, and God bless him.
He was a monster in Jacksonville.
Yeah, with Blake Bortles.
He was a monster in Penn State.
I mean, he's still a monster in Chicago.
Release the man.
I mean, give that man a quarterback and absolute beast somewhere.
But they did have the kid Mooney who looked good. But yeah, they're in for a struggle. I mean, Khalil Mack in the defense is all right, but
that's
who Cleveland should go after.
Well, we need to keep this moving because we're already starting to run out of time. Let's move on to the Packers. What now? Aaron Rodgers doesn't even seem to know. There is dissension there. There's been dissension ever since they drafted a quarterback last year instead of using that pick to get the MVP of the league some help. And then in that NFC title game, you take the ball out of his hands and you leave it up to your defense to stop the winningest quarterback in history.
So brutal.
You're playing against Tom Brady. You go for it on fourth down, hands down. Am I right?
Yeah, you got to. You're going to give them the ball back anyway.
And they're backed up.
You have the MVP of the league who has shown you time and time again. Man. Obviously, there's a lot that we can say about the Packers here, but I think the number one thing that the Packers need to address in this offseason is the relationship between Aaron Rodgers and that front office.
And do they keep Aaron Jones? He's going to command big money. But they have good running backs. They need another receiver, though, I think, to get him over the top. The Lizard's all right and MVS. But
I mean, the team has been...
Make your man happy.
The team has been in the NFC title game for 2 years in a row, and it was their game to lose, and they lost both games.
And you could see Aaron Rodgers' faces should have drafted somebody else on the first pick.
Well, let's move on to the NFC South, and we'll start with the 4-12 Falcons, who hired Tennessee offensive coordinator Arthur Smith to be their new head coach. That whole team needs replaced. I've never seen, and I know I said this to you, Phil, off the air, I've never seen a team fall from grace in any sport like this.
It's terrible.
It is shocking how much this team has digressed since blowing that Super Bowl to the Patriots.
Well, their whole like team demeanor seems to follow Matty Ice. He's so bland and blah, and the whole team just seems very just. There's no excitement
it's
about
very
it.
It's undued.
Very undued.
They need to blow it up. I think that's the problem, is all those guys that were on that Super Bowl team are pretty much, a lot of them are still there and have that, no, they don't lack confidence to finish games.
Yeah.
Here's a,
so that's very talented people on that team.
That's another quarterback that could probably be on the move in the offseason we didn't even talk about. So they might be the Detroit Lions.
At this point,
the,
I mean, Matt Ryan's good, do we consider him elite?
I mean,
I don't.
He hasn't.
He's top half of the quarterbacks right now.
I mean, I would.
Yeah, he's in the upper. He's in the top half of the league. Yeah.
I wouldn't even consider him in the top five of QBs available out there.
I would. Well, I mean, who's all available for?
Well, I'm not just talking about free agents, but I'm also talking about all these quarterbacks that are going to be traded and be on other teams that they are from this year to next year.
Well, I mean,
I wouldn't even put Matt Ryan in the top five.
Dak, Deshaun,
Stafford.
But then who? He's better than Cam.
Listen, I'm putting
him. He's better than Trubisky.
I'm putting him ahead of Stafford a little bit.
Let's
look at it. The guy is a gunslinger. When he had his opportunity,
and he's been a winner.
Yes.
Stafford's a gunslinger.
Yeah, but I don't. No, I don't think so. I mean, he is. He throws the ball well, but just not.
He's just never had a good team to throw to, except for Megatron. Who's he really had?
Who? Stafford?
Yeah.
Ebron, Galladay.
He had Golden Tate.
Golden Tate there from Notre Dame. While.
Well, we got to move on. Let's talk about we're going to skip the Buccaneers because we're going to talk about them for the Super Bowl. And we'll talk about the 12-4 Saints. Obviously, their big question is Drew Brees done?
Yeah.
No decision's been made yet. But obviously, if you look at the body language on Drew Brees as he was exiting the Superdome, I mean, you all saw it. He took that one last look. He's done.
Respect to the guy. Drew Brees is a warrior.
He's one of the greatest
of
all time.
Definitely going to Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Hall of Famer.
It seems like this franchise is ready to give the keys to Jameis Winston and see what they can do with this team.
I think they're going to still run it the same way.
Yeah, they'll still use Taysom Hill and Winston.
But I think, and I wrote this down, that on paper, that this was the most complete team in the NFC going into the playoffs. And as far as you needing to do what you need to do to improve this team, just got to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, the quarterback's going to be a big issue. I mean,
their defense is solid.
Run the ball.
Run game's nasty.
Michael Thomas needs to come back healthy. He wasn't himself this year.
All right, I'm just going to blow right past the very next one just to save on time. 49ers are just a giant question mark, and that big question mark is circled around Jimmy G. Yeah.
He's gone.
Yeah.
And their health is terrible.
And yeah, they were one of the worst injured teams this year.
And we're going to move on to the 8-8 Arizona Cardinals. I like this team.
Should have been better than 8-8. Tons of promise there with that team.
I think you keep building this team around Kyler Murray, who I'm going on record now as saying is a future MVP.
He's got to learn to win the game, though. I mean, you can put up the numbers, but you got to win. And a lot of those games were on him. He threw a lot of interceptions. He's young, though. I'm not,
second year player.
Back, but he needs to take that step to winning.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
he has the weapons.
I think what this team needs is obviously you got to replace Larry Fitzgerald, which there is no replacing Larry Fitzgerald, but you got to do it in order to take the pressure off of DeAndre Hopkins, and
defense.
And their D line could use their whole D line can use an
and
upgrade.
And the offensive line, I mean, that's a theme. Obviously, you got to protect quarterback.
We can basically look at every single team in the league and be like, man, if this team had an offense and a defense, they'd be a good team.
I like the big uglies, though. You got to block, man. If you can dominate the line of scrimmage, you're doing yourself a big favor there.
Mm-hmm. So moving on to the Los Angeles Rams, who finished 10-6. Ooh. I think that the weakest part of their game, which really isn't a surprise, is their defensive secondary. Most notably at the linebacker position, but the defensive tackle and the quarterback could also use an upgrade as well. I think that their defense, even though they played well in the playoffs, was their biggest Achilles heel in the entire season.
They have a great D-line. It was quarterback play. The quarterback and the coach are not on the same page.
I'm saying the linebacker position and the cornerback position.
Well, Jalen Ramsey's like best cornerback in the league.
You got one good corner.
Well, the other kid, Hill, you know Hill.
I think it's a good team. I definitely think, though, it's time to let Goff go to the XFL. Let him go.
The same problem that the Eagles have is they signed him to a big deal. Now
they paid him too much money. Look at their backup came from the XFL.
He played a good game, too.
Yes.
Well, I mean, as we've seen in Green Bay, there's obvious dissension between McVay and the front office and Goff.
Yeah, because when the front office signs a guy, then you're stuck to him.
That the coach says not to sign him to that much money, and they do anyway, the little guy gets angry.
Which is crazy because Goff, 2 years ago was like lightning. Remember that Chiefs and St. Louis game on Monday Night Football a few years ago? It was just world beaters, but they figured him out.
So the final team we have to talk about before we start talking about the Super Bowl were the 12-4 Seattle Seahawks, who I think completely missed an opportunity this year. I think that they were poised to go deep, and they couldn't get past L.A. in the playoffs because of their defense, L.A.'s defense. But I think that they're maybe one of those teams that's just one or two pieces away from playing in another Super Bowl.
Their defense needs a little help, but honestly, like, they just shoot themselves in the foot for some reason. In the playoffs, they don't – I mean, that team is really good.
On paper, they had almost every advantage you can have over that L.A. team.
Did any other team miss fans more than the Seattle Seahawks?
Good call.
Did any other team miss fans? Their defense was terrible. Or maybe it's their fans. Maybe that 12th man is really a 12th man out there.
Noise matters.
Yeah.
But, yeah, defensively they need offensive line too. Another team that couldn't block. Wilson was running for his life.
Well, going back to the fan thing, I think a lot of teams missed out on that this year.
I think that's why scoring was up too. I mean, there wasn't a lot of, you know, line penalties, false
less
starts.
Less distractions.
Yeah, less distractions. Yeah. But, boy, Seattle, 12th man, Monday Night Football playoff games, you can't even hear yourself out there.
Yeah.
But, again, Russell Wilson scrambling for his life. I mean, his protection, and he can scramble, wasn't the best.
We did it. We talked about every single team except for the last two that are still in there.
Oh, yeah.
So let's get into it. Let's talk about the big game. How are we feeling? How are we feeling about these two teams? I honestly had no expectation for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to be playing in the Super Bowl this year.
Are you serious?
I gave them 0% shot.
Are you serious?
Absolutely.
Is it because of the way they started? Because they did start kind of slow. Or is it...
They had very little cohesion in the beginning of the
year. They had no preseason. Guys, come on.
Well, yeah, preseason.
No preseason. Yeah, I mean, preseason kills you with
No team had a preseason. I understand, you can't use that excuse.
Are you kidding me now? Talk common sense.
That's
a brand new quarterback.
Says the guy that's not going to draft Trevor Lawrence first overall.
Do you have cable? But anyway, let's not get sidetracked here.
He is DirecTV.
So here...
Satellite.
You're taking a quarterback from...
Not a sponsor.
The team...
Oh, sorry.
Team he was on for 20 years, goes down to a brand new, fresh team that he's never thrown the ball or played with. Look where they're at.
And what was Tampa? Was Tampa 7-9 last year?
Yes.
And didn't Jameis Winston throw 40 interceptions?
30 interceptions, 30 touchdowns.
So the talent was on that team.
Yes. Well, if you watch a championship game, Bruce Arians let you know.
Yeah,
that it just needed one player to get
they had,
to
I mean,
Super Bowl.
We all knew they had skilled players. Like, we all knew Godwin. We all knew Mike Evans.
They're a good team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they're not a good team. But, I mean, try to play the comparison game. All the Yankees needed to get to the World Series was sign Gerrit Cole. They did that, and they still didn't get to the World Series. I'm saying having talented
people... But Gerrit Cole is not Tom Brady.
What I'm saying is having talented people on your team doesn't necessarily mean you're going to play for a championship. But there's talent all over the league.
But not as much as on that team, besides the other team that's in the Super Bowl with all the talent.
When you have Tom Brady, who expects the best out of you every play, like he's yelling. Have you ever seen him yell at guys? Like when there's a false start, or I mean, he's cussing them out.
I don't want to be like the only one at the table that's willing to shit on Tom Brady, because like I recognize the talent there.
This is an ex Peyton Manning, you know, Colts fan. Yeah,
literally shit on his forehead.
No. I'm not going to downplay the greatness that is Tom Brady. I think that he's the greatest quarterback of all time. I didn't always think that way. I thought that he played in the greatest system of all time, and that's why he was so successful. But obviously, him taking his talents to Tampa and doing what he did at that team, it almost like solidifies a legacy that was just missing like one sliver.
He has more talent on this team in Tampa than he ever... Name me, besides the year he had Randy Moss and Wes Welker, the receivers he had, the running back that he had, Corey Dillon for a little bit, who was an ex-Bengal, Phil.
Yes.
But he made something out of nothing in New England for the most part.
Tom Brady's always been successful no matter where he's been and what he's done. I had no like thoughts that he was going to come in here and not have a winning season and get to the playoffs. I mean, Am I surprised that they made it to the Super Bowl? Am I surprised? A little surprised.
That's the point I'm trying to make.
But I don't think that – I'm not surprised because it is Tom Brady and the team is super talented. They have a great defense. They have great everything.
Yeah, I think that's what we That being said,
it's hard to come into a system your first year after playing 20 years in another system. Get the cohesion by the time you're hitting stride. It just so happens they hit stride – the perfect time, and they're playing great football.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm also throwing in there, like, add in the fact that Gronk, who was retired, came out to play with Tom Brady in Tampa Bay.
But that was a setup. Come on. These guys were done in New England. They were just done with Belichick, the way they were getting treated.
Well, warm weather. Look at that division. You get to play in domes, Atlanta. Yeah. New Orleans, domes, Tampa's nice weather. But they are. They hit their stride at the right time. And that's big in the NFL. How many teams have done that? Look what when the Giants beat them twice.
What about when Seattle did it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Seattle hit their stride.
Basically, the point that I was trying to make was like when the deal happened and Tom Brady went to Tampa, I said, this guy's not going to be playing in the Super Bowl in 2021. That team on paper to me does not seem like it's going to beat the Green Bay Packers and the Seattle Seahawks and the New Orleans Saints, but they did.
The Dominican Sue, two outstanding linebackers, David and White, and that's going to be huge in this matchup against Kelsey and Kansas City.
I really believe that the Buccaneers' defense is the reason that they're here.
Like, yeah.
They're under. And if there was
JPP in his one hand,
and if you needed any evidence of that, look at how the defense played in every game of the playoffs.
Yeah, their D line. I mean, their front seven is phenomenal. Sue and you have I can't pronounce that one guy's name, Ricky Jean Sanfranwal or somebody. What's the one guy? But Golston on the outside.
He's not a sponsor either.
Yeah, he's not a sponsor. But
Goldfish Crackers?
I'm gonna find out his name. It was something close to that.
But like to me, like, you know, you go back to that NFC title game. And like I said before, you know, Tom Brady threw three interceptions in seven attempts, which he had never done in his entire career. But look what Green Bay did with those opportunities. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, what, 6 points?
Two of them were turnovers back.
To Dan's point and your point, defense.
Yeah. Right. That's the point I'm trying to make, is that
defense.
This team, to me,
here it is.
really Raheem turned me.
Raheem Nunez Roaches.
Oh, Nunez Roaches used to be a Chief.
Yeah, so he came out of nowhere and played well. We like Roaches.
The point I'm trying to make is like, the doubts that I had about this team when Tom Brady took over for Tampa have all been erased because to me, even though I said it before, as the New Orleans Saints seeming like the most complete team in the NFL, man, they absolutely got schooled.
Which is shocking because the Saints schooled them twice leading up to that. Mm-hmm.
And that was the point I was also trying to make was like, this team didn't even win their division. How are they going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl? Let's talk about the Chiefs because we just spent a lot of time talking about the Buccaneers. What can we say about the Chiefs?
Oh,
turns out they're good at football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big Red.
Great coach.
I mean, they have a great coach. They have an MVP quarterback. They have
the fastest wide receiver who can catch a football.
I don't know. Scotty Miller. We'll have to see that.
We will see.
they
the
have
best tight end ever.
I would say ever. I mean, all respect to Tony Gonzalez, but great D line. I mean, Chris Jones
and Frank Clark, monsters.
Yeah,
they got a good rookie,
Ward.
He's been playing out of his mind this year. They're ball hawks. We have, you know, a subpar run defense, but the Chiefs have a really, really good pass defense.
But their offense puts pressure on the other team, which will help your defense.
Like, yeah, I mean,
you got to score.
Look at their playoff run last year. Look at the AFC title game this year. This team is not afraid to go down multiple scores.
And they know
going into this game, they're putting up 28+.
The Chiefs went down 9-0. 2 minutes later, they're up 14-9. Then they just got the ball back and we're up 21-9.
Let me ask you guys this because JB asked this
Against
question
really
on Inside
good
the
Bills
NFL.
Defense.
Yes.
Let me ask you guys this because JB asked this on Inside the NFL and I thought it was a pretty good thought-provoking question. When the Bills went up 9-0 in that AFC title game, did you think, even for a second, that they were still going to win that game?
No.
What about 28-0? Was that last year? Was last year 28-0 or was it 21?
Did you think when they went up to 9-0 that it was possible that they would win that game?
No. No, you can't kick field goals against KC.
Listen, it fuels Kansas City when they go down. It fuels them. It takes them a little bit. We've all watched the playoffs. We've all watched them play. It takes them a little bit. You get out of that first quarter, but you ain't getting out of that game.
Well, and I think the big difference maker in that game, when you saw them go down 9-0, was look at the leadership on the sideline. Look at Travis Kelce picking up the kid.
Well, Mecole Hardman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, look
at that. And then he goes out and redeems himself.
Yeah,
and
they go right. That's the thing about Andy Reid. Like, the thing about that offense is, well, that team in general, they make mistakes. They're not perfect. They are amazingly talented, but they do make mistakes. But what he will do, Hardman muffed that punt. You go right back to him, and you feed the kid the ball, and you give him more confidence. Mm-hmm. That team has the most confidence of any team.
He immediately went to the sideline and buried himself in a coat, and then Kelce went over, tore that coat off of him. Mahomes said, pick your head up. You're getting the ball, and he went out there and scored a touchdown. That's the type of leadership that wins championships. Just like to the point that you guys were making about Tom Brady expecting the best out of every single one of his players, this team does that with their players too. They pick each other up.
Well, and what a big go! Circle back to the week before, Henny coming up big shows great confidence in that.
A team that believes in themselves, yeah. And they put a lot of it's a team that loves each other. They put a lot of heart into that.
Dan,
team.
Was that fourth and one or fourth in?
Fourth and 13. And I think he ran for 12 and three quarters of a yard.
It was third and 13. He got 12 yards. And then they did the anything is possible. Yeah.
Well, that goes back to Dan's point of confidence. So Andy Reid
had the confidence in Henny
to throw that pass on fourth and
to
one.
To be fair, Henny, now that was easily the biggest thing in his career that he, like, that was the most pressure he'd had.
Mm hmm.
That guy has been around forever. He's not, and for them to play him, okay. So like, Chiefs end up 14-2. I think that's a huge deal going after winning the championship. Everyone's gunning for the champs. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to beat the champions. They lost to the Raiders, who just simply our defense did not play that game, mm-hmm. and they beat us. No big deal.
Well, that was also early in the season too.
It was week 8. No, you're right. It was
like the third week, I think.
I thought it was like
week 5.
Yeah, I like what would have been their week 1 if there was a preseason.
Right. So you get that, and then they lose the last game of the season because they played their third string. You know what I mean?
But we talked about that game was huge because Henny got to play that whole game.
And that's what I was getting at. He got to play that whole game, that whole last game Henny got to play. So he wasn't going in rusty, not taking any, having any reps for, all season. He just had a whole game of reps, so that was really helpful. I mean, I think
because he looked, I'd tell you, besides that one interception he threw in that game, which was terrible, but it ended up being a punt anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was pretty sharp. I mean, he threw some darts. Like, yeah, I mean, he threw some ones to Kelce. But my favorite thing with the Chiefs, and Romo's talked about it all the time, is when you put Kelce on the one side and you put Hill on the other side and they just run across. Like, how do you stop that?
Yeah.
I mean, nobody can do it. It's probably one of my favorite plays to watch.
It's indefensible. It's their team and their scheme is indefensible.
I mean, it's...
Even if you write up the perfect defense.
Tampa has their hands full with this offense.
The one thing that I think gives them advantage, they do have speed at the linebacker. Advantage over other teams that they played, because David and White are both like 4 or 5 linebackers. Now, that's not going to help with the Cheetah, but that will help. But it's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be fun to watch those two linebackers.
I just believe it's going to be just a great game. It should really be a great football game.
Oh, it's going to be one of the top Super Bowls, I think.
For a league that had so many obstacles to overcome this year, it's good that we're actually going to be treated to a Super Bowl game that, in my opinion, is worth watching.
Let's hope so. We all think it, But, I mean, what do they say, 57.5 points? That's got to be one of the highest over-unders in
Super Bowl history. As of right now, it's 57.5, and the Chiefs are a 4-point favorite to win.
The line moved? As of when?
Last time I checked it earlier today.
Okay.
I just saw a guy put a $2.3 million bet on the Bucs. Maybe that's why it went from 4 to 3.5.
Well, let me ask you guys this as we get ready to start wrapping up here. We all know that for the first time ever, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be playing a Super Bowl in their home stadium. First time it's ever been done in NFL history. Do you think that that is going to make a difference in the outcome of this game?
Well, there's 14,000 fans, I think, going, and of that 14,000, thankfully, 7,000 are going to be healthcare workers.
Yeah.
So the NFL did a good job with that. But they're all from the – oh, no, I think they were from – I think Sarah said they're all from different areas. I don't know. I mean, is there other 7,000 fans only Bucks fans? How's they? I don't even know how they're doing divvying up the tickets.
I have no idea. I just know about that. I think they're just doing healthcare workers. And so, probably, I mean, a small group of other people. But, I mean, sure, it's home field advantage. You're used to the home field.
You know, I mean, the advantage of the Bucks get to sleep in their house, I think, is an advantage. Like, they're not going to a hotel room. They're sleeping in their beds. They're sleeping in their houses, I think, is an advantage.
Well, I think this. If this was a couple years earlier where you had fans and it was packed, I would give the Bucks the advantage because it would almost be a real home game.
Right, correct.
Now, yes, this is a home game, but it's not going to be jam-packed. There's not going to be crazy things going
on. Which is
going
to be crazy in its own right.
So, yeah, it's still going to be, but I just think...
So is the answer to my question a collective no?
Well, I think there is some advantages.
There's definitely an advantage.
My question was, is it going to make a difference in the outcome of the game?
No. I don't think
no,
so.
No.
Not without fans in the stands. Packed, no.
Which is just crazy in this year. Like, who would ever think there'd be a Super Bowl with 14,000 fans in it? I mean, it's just, even watching these championship games this weekend. I mean, luckily fans could go to some of them, but seeing that many empty seats at a championship
game, it was nice hearing the people go nuts in Green Bay as if that place was packed.
Yeah, I mean, they did do a hell of a job.
I thought Kansas City was pretty loud,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Buffalo, first playoff home game in... how many years?
I know. Mm-hmm. I feel bad for those fans, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel bad for Cleveland fans.
But they played on the road, though.
Yeah, but they would have went.
Oh, well, yeah. They would have went to Pittsburgh. Yeah. But all not right. If it would have been a Cleveland home game, I'd have felt really bad for them.
So let's wrap things up and go around the room and say what we think the final score of this Super Bowl game between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs is going to be. Who wants to go first? I'll let the Kansas City Chief fan go first.
Oh, I think we should go last.
No, because we all know who he thinks is going to win.
Okay. I'll just take a moment, but I want to say this. I do think Kansas City is going to win this game.
Shocker.
I do believe, though, if Tom Brady...
I also think the sun's going to rise tomorrow.
I do believe that if Tom Brady and the Bucs win this... I think it might be the last time we see Tom Brady.
I hope not.
I kind of hope not, too. But I don't know that you could go out on a higher note on your career than you have this 20-year career with another team. You win a bunch of championships. You leave. There's all this skepticism against you. You go to a new team. You become a legend within 1 year of playing for you're now forever a Bucks legend. Take them to the first time ever home Super Bowl, you know, you're hosting at your home field. It's incredibly insane. If you can win that Super Bowl, there's nothing else you can do in your career. So I think it would be the greatest high note. And I think he goes out. That being said, I think the Chiefs win 35-27.
Okay. Phil.
Well, I know there's one guy that wants Tom to stay after he wins is Edelman. Wants to go down to Tampa and hang out with his two best friends.
Of course he does.
You know,
why wouldn't you? Hell yeah.
He couldn't leave. He was under contract, but he wants to go. Listen, I think it's going to come down to this. I think that it's going to be one heck of a football game. Mm-hmm. I think the Chiefs are going to score. And I think right at the end of the game, the Chiefs are going to go score and go up and tie the game at 31-31. And he's going to leave too much time again on the clock. The GOAT marches down the field and wins 34-31. Greatest quarterback ever.
Here's what I think is going to happen.
Please tell us.
I think that the final score of this game is going to be 38-31 in favor of the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think it's going to be because Tom Brady is going to go down the field to try to tie the game, and he's not going to get it done.
You think he's going to throw a pick six to the Honey Badger?
No. I think that they would be going down the field to tie the game, and he's not going to get it done on fourth down. JB?
Well, as an ex-Eagles fan, you know I got a special spot in my heart for Mr. Big Red Andy Reid. Cool, I think, man. It's going to be the kind of the opposite of what Phil said over there. I think Brady's going to come down the field, put a touchdown on there, 35-31 Tampa at the time. He's going to leave too much time for Mahomes.
Mahomes magic, baby.
Cement his comeback history into the books. Throw a touchdown to my man TK at the end of the game. 38-35 Well, maybe they don't even kick the extra point at that point. So maybe we'll go 30. Oh, they have to? Do they?
Yes.
Oh.
Not Vegas. If it says time expires.
But 38-35 Kansas City, Big Red. I want to see an Hawaiian shirt. I got to see another Hawaiian shirt.
So we all are in agreement that the Kansas City Chiefs are probably going to win this game?
Except for Phil.
No.
Except for Phil.
Yeah. The GOAT gets it done.
All right. Well, we'll see how it goes. If, I didn't tell any of you guys this, but if any one of you guys picked the exact score of what this game's going to be, I'm giving you something special. I'm not going to say what it is, but I'll let you know if you actually picked the final score of the game.
Well, yes. Thank you, Mr. Strong.
You could just give it to me now. I already won.
What are you going to do with that draft pick?
Phil's not allowed to get his gift if he wins until he puts on a Bengals jersey.
It was really my pleasure to talk to two fun. Other people that really knew football and Phil today. Yeah. Thanks, Dan.
It's nice to talk to NFL fans who are in it for more than just money.
Money makes the world go round. I'm sorry, guys.
All right, so three out of the four of us have made our pick that Kansas City is going to pull off a back-to-back championship. Phil disagreed with us, but he also disagreed with us on a bunch of other things. I need to wrap this up, so I want to thank you guys for being here. This is my 50th episode, and it's the first one I've got to actually talk some football, and I had a great time doing it. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
Regular listeners of this show know that I don't do this show just so I can sell out, that I wouldn't endorse a product that I didn't believe in, that I like to highlight people from my hometown that are doing amazing things. And that's why I'm happy to be sponsored in part by Rolling Acre, makers of CBD and CBG products from my hometown of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Rolling Acre Farm sits on 105 beautiful pesticide-free acres in Carlisle, where they grow high-quality hemp to produce superior-tasting CBD and CBG unlike anything else you'll find on the market. I have a lot of problems falling and staying asleep at night, but since I started using Rolling Acre CBD and CBG before I go to bed, I noticed that while I'm not getting more sleep, I'm getting better sleep, more quality sleep, and I feel more rested when I wake up in the morning. Rolling Acre spends long days on their farm planting, nourishing, and harvesting their hemp by hand and processing it in a state-of-the-art lab right on the farm before it only leaves to be third-party tested for both quality and potency. Friend of the show Nate Blazer uses Rolling Acre for his gluten allergy, telling me that he notices improvement within 30 minutes of using it. And if you go to rolling-acre.com, you can learn more about the farm, shop their selections of 1,000-milligram full-spectrum CBD and CBG tinctures, and when you're ready to try it for yourself, you can use the promo code STRONGWORDS to get $10 off your next purchase. They even have two flavors that your dogs, cats, and horses will love. So again, go to rolling-acre.com, use the promo code STRONGWORDS at checkout, and receive $10 off your order. Available to ship in all 48 CBD and CBG legal states. You can find them on social media at Rolling Acre or go to rolling-acre.com today. So I want to thank JB, Phil, and Dan for being on the show and helping me break down the NFL season while we look forward to Super Bowl 55 this Sunday. I also want to apologize to the Carolina Panthers fans out there. I didn't realize until after we got done recording this conversation that I realized that we blew completely past your team and forgot to mention them. I'll be real quick and mention the notes that I did have for the Carolina Panthers, and that's that they hired former Seattle Vice President of Operations as their general manager. Their priority is depth at cornerback. Their D-line needs a complete overhaul because they're going to lose almost all of them to free agency, but they got to re-sign right tackle Taylor Morton, and they need to decide what they're going to do about Teddy Bridgewater in Carolina. So sorry, Panthers fans, I didn't forget about you. I mean, I did, but I promise that it won't happen again. And just because the discussion's over for this episode of the podcast doesn't mean the discussion's over entirely. I want to hear from you. Get in touch with this podcast on social media, be it Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, at Ian Strong Words. Let me know what you thought of our assessment of your favorite team and what your prediction is for the big game this Sunday. You can also email this podcast at strongwordspodcast@gmail.com. And if you could take the minute after you're done listening to this episode to give me a rating, write me a review or comment or any of that stuff, subscribe, like, follow, I genuinely appreciate you taking the time to do that because it does help out this show. So that'll do it for another episode of Strong Words with Ian Strong. Come back next week as my monthly special bonus edition of the show returns with another volume of Shot Glass Diaries, where I take one of the many shot glasses that I've collected over the years to commemorate one of the many trips that I've taken in my lifetime out of one of my many cabinets and tell you the story of that trip. If you're also a fan of my feature episodes, well, you're going to want to come back 2 weeks from today, because even though I talk a lot about movies on this show, this is the very first time that I'm going to be having a guest who was in a movie on my show. And not just any actor from any movie. I got the guy who starred in the movie that was my favorite movie to watch as a kid, The Monster Squad. Andre Gower, who played Sean, the leader of the Monster Squad, is going to be right here on the show, right on Strong Words with Ian Strong. We're going to talk about what it was like to be in a movie as a kid, why he thought that the movie was a bomb at the box office, but somehow achieved cult status popularity via video sales and HBO. And we'll talk about his documentary that he made about the fans' relationship to this movie, Wolfman's Got Nards. So next week, Shot Glass Diaries returns to the show. 2 weeks from today, Andre Gower is going to be on the show. But in the meantime, as I say every episode, stay safe out there. Spend a little time every day doing something that you love. And if you got something to say, keep your words strong. How strong? Ian Strong.
Strong words!